Good afternoon, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show on WPR News. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Larry today, and our next guest hates pants, but loves to travel the world. Dropped it all here in Wisconsin to go see over 12 countries now across two continents, and her stories have been documented on her travel blog, Hi From Ashley, also on her YouTube channel and Instagram. As we talk with our guest, Ashley Kay, today, would love to hear about your travels and where they've taken you, what you've seen, what you've learned, and what stays with you long after you've returned home. Call us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can always email talk@wpr.org. And Ashley Kay, welcome to the Larry Mueller Show.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very curious about your life and would love to live vicariously through you for the next hour if I could. So where are we talking to you from today?
I am calling in from Bermuda today.
Ah, what's it like where you are?
Hot and humid. Oh, just the way I like it.
I was going to say, that's kind of the way it is here in Wisconsin today.
Yeah, but this is like oceanside.
So it's a wet heat.
Yeah, but it's lovely.
Take us back from when this all started. Who was Ashley Kay and what was her life like before you hit the road?
Oh, how far back do you want to go?
How did it start?
Honestly, it's just a series of life events that kind of shaped my life in different ways, some small, some big. My dad passed away when I was 27, and I spent the next year just listening to family and friends around the U.S. call and share stories about his wild, crazy, free life. Mm. And that really planted the seed, like, hey, maybe you need to start living life a little bit. So started working extra hard, got a consulting job, saving everything. Went scuba diving, got certified in Honduras. I met a guy who was a few years younger than me, but he was traveling around the world without ever stepping foot on a plane. He was a civil engineer from Austria, and went through a conversation with him, everything. He was couch surfing, hitchhiking. He crossed the Atlantic on a cargo ship, lived very cheaply, and just kind of asked him, like, okay, obviously, I would travel a little bit differently, but what's the worst of the worst? I was prepared for him to like share some terrible experience, couch surfing or something like that. And his response was just that I didn't start sooner because it's so much easier and cheaper than you could ever believe. And I was like, okay, that kind of sealed the deal for me. I went home, worked twice as hard for about 4 years, saved enough money and just quit.
What kind of planning went into hitting the road?
Honestly, not much.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a different way. Like, I'm used to be a Excel spreadsheet girly. Everything was planned down to the minute.
I know the type, yes.
Yes, and now, I mean, my life is, the plan is there's no plan. I only have two rules, don't die and don't get arrested.
Wow.
And that's it. Just kind of figure it out as you go. I have a general outline, I guess. I live by a general outline. Maybe this month I'll be in this country and next month I'll be in that country. Other than that, I just figure out everything as I go. I don't do a ton of research as to like, what are the top 10 best destinations or this or that. I look for photography places on maps. I'm obsessed with maps. So I have thousands of places on maps. I'm like, okay, let's just go there, check it out, and see what happens.
It sounds like the proverbial throwing a dart at a map somewhere and seeing where it lands and heading that in that direction.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's an adventure.
Ashley, as somebody who, you know, came from the world of spreadsheets, which I can totally relate to, organize and order, it makes sense to me. Is there anxiety when you take that organization and order away?
In the beginning, there was.
Yeah.
My first destination that I went to was French Polynesia. Mm. So I landed in Tahiti with no real plan, except I was going to be there for 3 months. I wanted to go scuba diving with sharks and stingrays, stuff like this. And I spent the first 3 weeks with a friend of mine who was sailing there. And he's like, I was like, we should go here. We should go there. Let's check out this beach. I want to try this restaurant. He's like, you really need to learn how to do nothing. And I was like, I just quit my career. I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. I don't know how to do nothing. Like, I
Right.
have to go and do something. It took me about a month to deprogram, and now I'm professional at doing nothing. It's my favorite thing to do.
You're good at it. You've gotten good at it.
Yes.
So,
Expert level.
when did your travel start? Was it what year was that?
I left the US Thanksgiving of 2019.
29 at the end of 2019. And
Yeah,
how
it's about
many,
5.5 years.
how far have you gone since then? I mean, how many places have you been, would you say, ballpark?
As far as countries,
Sure.
I probably 12, 14, 18,
Wow.
maybe like somewhere between 18 and 25. I don't keep track exactly because I'm a slow traveler. So I try to stay 90 days, 3 months is usually the limit for a US passport, like visa free. Some countries like Bermuda, Mexico, I think Colombia, you get 6 months. So I try to stay as long as I can.
And how long have you been in Bermuda now, and how long do you intend to stay?
I got to Bermuda about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
It's a secret, so don't tell anybody.
Shh.
But I will be here hopefully for all of summer and into September. It would be fantastic.
How do you make it work financially? I mean, I understand, you know, you don't have to be going to the restaurants or spending money, but how do you make ends meet while out there on the road?
Well, just, being financially responsible is a real thing. Being financially irresponsible is a real thing. For the first 3 years, I traveled off of savings.
Yeah.
So by the time I left in 2019, I think it was like $37,000
That's
saved
not a
up.
lot. Yeah.
No, it's not a lot at all, but my average expenses, including like property taxes in Wisconsin, electric bill, quarterly taxes were $12,000 a year.
Sure.
So when you are traveling full time on one-way tickets, things become much cheaper. It's you're not flying back and forth. I'm not staying at the Ritz. I'm not going out to fancy restaurants all of the time, but it was really cheap, to be honest. And I still did a little bit of consulting the first year, so I had a little bit of income, nothing crazy. And then after I ran out of money, I came home and was just like, okay, I think I'm ready for the next chapter of my life. I don't really think I want to live in Wisconsin anymore. I love being on an island, love looking at the ocean, and I want to keep traveling. So I sold my childhood house. And I put 30 into long-term investments, 30 into a savings account, and then 30% into building and traveling for the next 2 years.
How long ago was
And
that?
now, the house sale,
Yeah.
March of 2023.
Okay. Yeah, so that was about 2 years ago now.
Yep, so I'm nearing the end. The savings is getting really slim, which makes me mildly uncomfortable because the rest of the money is like, don't look at it, don't touch it, it doesn't exist. That's for future Ashley when I want to buy a house again somewhere in the world. So I will have to get a job again at some point after I finish this chapter, overlanding to the end of the earth. But
But you've got a
next chapter.
You've got a travel blog, hifromashley.com. You have a YouTube channel. Do you get sponsorships, or are there other channels of income that you can find while traveling?
I don't do any sponsorships or any like product promotion, brand deal type of stuff, because honestly, it's really difficult. I'm in a new country sometimes every month or every 3 months. Shipping stuff to South America is really difficult. And honestly, the brands want you to be in the United States and promoting. Like, it's just not realistic for them to be able to ship a product to me and have me review it and post it within 11 days. It won't even be out of the port in 11 days. So my focus this year is kind of catching up on the video backlog for YouTube. And I actually make a lot of money on TikTok.
Oh, okay. So there is a revenue stream from being able to travel the world and show people who would like to live vicariously through you, like myself.
Oh, for sure. And if I had a little bit more time to actually sit down and edit videos 40 hours a week,
oof,
I would definitely be making a lot more money on social media than I do. But
and yet, yeah, that would kind of take away from the purpose of your travels to begin with, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I could totally understand that. Like, you could actually monetize this if you made it a full-time job, but that's the thing you left in the first place. So why would you go do that?
Exactly. A lot of content creators that are travel-based, I mean, they will fly to France or Italy, wherever they're traveling, capture all of the content. And then as soon as they come back into the U.S., and their algorithms are U.S.-based.
Oh.
Facebook and Instagram, they know where you're posting from. So once your socials have reset to the U.S., then they will post everything. And content is pushed more in the United States. So
isn't that
that's where the monetization is. Yeah, it is definitely.
And yeah, interesting as well that you'd have to learn that as part of your travels is like, well, I'd have to be back in the United States to post this in order to monetize this. Wow, that's a lot to think about, Ashley.
There's a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
YouTube and TikTok, I can post from anywhere in the world. It's not as, how do I say that, like slowed down in the algorithm. The TikTok is a geo-based app, but Facebook and Instagram are, every time I change a country, think my algorithm, everything changes and my post will not like be shown. It's very strange. Like, very strange. But
and the reason I asked about sponsorship, Ashley, is because your camper truck has kind of become part of the character on your social media posts and your blog.
Yeah.
Tell us about this camper truck.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell.
Little bit obsessed. Honestly, that wasn't planned either. I knew at some point I wanted to do some type of van life around the United States. Hmm. And I wanted to do that with my dog, keep traveling. So everything happens for a reason. I had the perfect van picked out. It was like a F-350. The guy was from Vermont. He had redone everything mechanical. Four-wheel drive, Dana 60, everything was coated. Everything a man would do for four-wheel drive off-roading, he did it. And I was like, okay, this is what I want. I stayed in touch with him for 6 months. And his van sold on Sunday morning. And I got a cash offer on my house Monday morning.
Oh.
I was like, okay, it's just not meant to be. New plan. 2 days later, a couple, they are from Oregon, I believe. They are traveling around the world in the same type of setup that I have. They had sent me a message, followed me on Instagram. They were traveling through Africa or planning their travels through Africa. And I was like, this is weird. Like, what are these guys up to? And I looked at their page. What is this truck and camper situation? Overlanding? What is overlanding? I need to go down the YouTube rabbit hole. What is this? Obviously, it's four-wheel drive. Okay. So within a week, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to get a Toyota Tacoma. I need a 4-wheel drive, 6-foot bed. I need to start looking to buy this. And I need to get a camper and all of these pieces because I just accepted a cash offer on my house. And in 30 days, I'm going to be homeless. So let's go.
And that Toyota Tacoma has traveled with you in ways I wouldn't think possible because it's gone and it's traveled where there have been no roads. Is it with you in Bermuda today?
No.
Okay.
It's stored in Argentina for winter.
Okay. Ashley,
it definitely would not fit on the roads here in Bermuda.
Ashley Kay is our guest, author of the travel blog, Hi from Ashley, and you can find her on all the socials, but you may have to do some digging because of the algorithm and the fact that she's joining us from Bermuda afternoon after dropping everything here in Wisconsin and traveling the world, which she has been around and then some since 2019. Do you have questions about her experiences or would like to share one of your own? We welcome you to our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. We'll continue with our guest, Ashley. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Miller Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Miller Show. Good afternoon. And just a reminder, if you miss part of our show or want to hear any of it again, you can always go to our archives at WPR.org/Larry to hear podcasts of our previous broadcasts. And as well, WPR.org/Larry is where you'll find a link to our guest's travel blog, HiFromAshley.com. Ashley K, our guest. She's been traveling the world after leaving Wisconsin, getting in a Toyota Tacoma and seeing where it takes her without deadlines, without destinations, and seeing the world. And Ashley, you'd mentioned going down a rabbit hole, figuring out what overlanding is. And I did not, I do not know what overlanding is. When you were looking for your car to take on your travels with you, what is overlanding?
Overlanding is just traveling by some type of vehicle, where you are sleeping, eating, crossing borders. It's a hot debate in the overlanding world whether or not international travel is required in the definition of overlanding. But I kind of lean towards, experiencing other cultures is part of overlanding because it is a method of travel. And if you're just traveling from your local town bar to your grocery store, that doesn't really count.
That would make me an overlander, which I am not yet. Yeah. But it sounds like you've come across others like you who are overlanders. Is this a larger subculture than perhaps those of us with 9-to-5 jobs would guess?
Yeah, I would say I'm quite shocked on how many people are overlanding. It's definitely more popular in Australia, Europeans, specifically Germans, Dutch, French, and then Latinos overland through Latin America a lot, especially like there's a whole moto adventure crew who are, I guess, more or less overlanding as well, but different methods. And then it's finally making its way to the United States. So you'll see a few people from the U.S. on the road, but it's more Europeans that I run into.
And when overlanders get together to talk, what is it that you find yourselves most often talking about, Ashley?
Food, people, good places to camp, like the favorite experiences. I will say there is a big difference on topics outside of the U.S. So in the U.S., everybody's talking about gear, what to buy. And outside the U.S., it's more about the experiences, which is quite funny sometimes.
Are there other discussions about how to make it work financially? Because that's the thing, like, is somebody going back to the spreadsheet culture or mindset as like, well, how do I make this work? How can I make this dollar stretch? Do you find out how other people are doing it and have the means to get it done?
I don't. I honestly don't ask people what they do for work. It's something that I noticed when I first started traveling. The second that you meet somebody from the United States, they're often asking you, what do you do for work, before they even ask what your name is. And that's just not the case in other cultures. Like who you are as a person, your hobbies, your passions define you more than your career, which was something that I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have to like switch and think a little bit differently. So unless people offer what they do for work, I don't ask. I don't go out of my way to ask. If there are overlanders who are funding their trips from sponsors or YouTube, you know it because it's all over their rig. Like they have stickers advertising it.
Oh, sure.
And then it's cool to kind of like chat with them. So what are you doing? What's your favorite part? Like filming? How do you manage that? Because it's a lot of work. So they will often overland part-time and then stay in hostels or hotels part-time. And people who do work, they will overland for 6 months and then go back to work for 6 months.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of all over the place. But most people that I run into that are doing the Pan American Highway, they are not living this way. This is a once in a lifetime trip that they're doing. Oh. And they're often trying to do the entire trip in less than 6 months.
Whoa. I mean, when you talk about the entire trip of the Pan American Highway, what does that entail? From where to where?
This sounds really bad because I don't actually know where it starts, but it's somewhere in Alaska.
Okay.
And then it ends in Ushuaia, Argentina.
Wow.
In total, it's about 19,000 miles. Yeah. And you have to ship across the Darien Gap. So that's at least 2 to 3 weeks. So if you're planning this trip in less than 6 months, just the shipping and the transport and everything, you're basically doing the whole trip in 5 months, which sounds awful to me. You're just driving and filling up your gas tank.
Yeah, that's not something that you've put on your radar as something you'd like to accomplish?
No, I am a slow traveler. Yeah. I like to see as much as possible. So, for example, I bought this truck with 5 miles on it. Five single miles, and I haven't finished the journey yet, and my truck is like just about to hit 36,000 miles.
Wow.
So I've gone way out of my way, and I didn't even start from Alaska. Like, I haven't even done any of that yet, so.
Have you had to ship your Toyota Tacoma? And if so, what is that process like, and how much does that set you back thereabouts?
Yeah, so I did have to ship from Panama to Colombia. That was one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to get a Toyota Tacoma with this camper setup. So the roof of my camper is down when I'm driving, mm-hmm. and that size fits inside of a shipping container. And you can split a shipping container with another traveler. And each container costs about $4,400, so $2,200 per vehicle. And yeah, pretty easy, pretty stressful. Like, it's not all easy breezy. It was a very stressful experience. And like, no, don't drop my truck in the ocean, please.
How long were you?
Yeah. My home.
Yes, that's your house. So how long were you without your house, and what did you do in the meantime without it?
The total shipping time for me took 16 days. Ooh. There was a couple of delays that happened, but I was in Panama for the beginning and then flew to Colombia and stayed in Cartagena with my dog. And that was pretty stressful, being a solo traveler with my dog. Cartagena is not super pet friendly. Dogs are illegal to go in Ubers in Colombia. Some drivers will say, yes, no problem. But it was pretty stressful. It was intense because every day you're checking. And when am I going to get my truck back? Okay, it's a delay. And yeah, but everything ends up in the end all good. And you'll get your home and get to go.
I am sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, Porter has passed away. And it was such a, again, like your Tacoma, Porter was the main character in your travels from the outset. And now it's just you solo. What's that like for you?
Honestly, it was awful. I feel like I'm already going to cry because I'm not over it. It's been only like 11 months. Yeah. And
I'm
the
sorry.
Root is it's awful. He was my best friend, like my little son. And honestly, I knew he was not going to be part of the journey at some point before I even left, before I even bought the truck. So
was he older to begin with? I mean,
yeah, he was.
Seemed like a wise man.
Yeah, he was honestly the best. He never barked. He loved food. He loved people. Super good with kids. So
he was good
he
with
was
cows.
Excellent to travel.
You've got a YouTube video of Porter with the cows, and it's just like he's looking at you, and the cows are looking at him, and it's just perfect. So I was kind of I share your sadness, and I'm so sorry for your loss, and I think it would be a little bit lonelier out there wherever you are without him, but at the same time, you know, I think they always kind of in some way stay with us in those memories and those little laughs that we get because of them.
Yeah, 100%. And he was a major motivator for this whole adventure. I mean,
yeah,
I knew these were going to be his last years. So I was like, okay, like we're going to go be outside, live your best life for him. He was part black lab, so absolutely just loved to be outside 24/7. There were nights I would have to pick him up off of the ground outside and carry him into the camper. He's like, I just want to be outside. I love it here. And yeah, he was a little stinker. He made friends everywhere he went because he was motivated by food and so many incredible memories.
But, Ashley, you gave him the largest dog park in the world. Like,
yeah,
there could be no greater gift for a black lab than to be able to hit the road with you and be home wherever you land. So I just think that's a great gift for the both of you. Did Porter's death change? Pause you in your tracks? How did you start thinking about next steps or moving forward after that loss?
Oh yeah, I took a 4-month pause. So he passed away in Colombia, and so I left my truck there, and I don't even remember exactly where I went to. I think I came back to Wisconsin for 2 weeks, spent some time with family, friends, and then I came to Bermuda. And I was in Bermuda for about 3 months, just kind of hiding out, healing, seeing some friends, but yeah, trying to figure out the next chapter because it's terrible. It's sad, but I have to keep moving forward. Yeah. I have to keep swimming. I have to keep moving forward. Yeah. And the reality is traveling by yourself with a dog is a lot of work. There are a lot of places that you can't go. You can't camp. I mean, every time I go into a grocery store, I would have to leave the air conditioner on, the truck running with the windows up, locked. And that could be anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. Crossing borders, the same thing. Sometimes my truck is running for 5 hours. It's 100 degrees out and the air conditioning is on because he can't go inside. So there's a lot of stuff that was very challenging overlanding with a dog by yourself, and a lot of places I couldn't go. I couldn't stay at some of the coolest Airbnb listings that I found. It's no pets allowed. So as terrible as it sounds, I have all of my freedoms back.
Yeah.
So
it's a different experience going
anywhere.
Forward. Right. But you go it alone now, where you used to have your best friend by your side and always worth it to a point. But now your travels go on. And I think that's exciting. And when I when I watch your videos, I'm kind of, think about how important Porter was. But at the same time, you write about on your travel blog, Hi From Ashley, that some of the challenges with your dog. You mentioned it in Colombia. And as we started the conversation and you were thinking about dropping everything and hitting the road, you talked to that engineer and you asked him what the worst of the worst was for him. And he had said to you, I just wish I'd done it sooner. For Ashley K, what's the worst of the worst been so far for you? And I probably think I know the answer.
Aside from Porter passing.
Yeah. Which would have been my guess.
That's definitely the worst of the worst so far, but that was going to happen no matter what. Mm. Whether we were traveling or just living in Wisconsin still. The worst of the worst when it comes to travel, aside from Porter passing, I don't think that I have any award-winning answer. I would say just figure out a little piece of the puzzle that you want to do and just go and do it. Because everything else is figure-outable and you don't have to have all of the gear. You don't have to have every single piece of the puzzle. Just go. Just start. Just go.
Well, you find what you're looking for along the way. I mean, when you come across different cultures and different peoples, do you find them as obstructions or are they part of the missing pieces that you thought you might need before you left in the first place?
That's a good question. I don't ever really feel like I'm looking for anything. I go to every country with no expectations. I'm always excited to try the food, see what type of culture I'm going to experience. Other than that, I feel like I'm just always looking to learn.
When it comes to the food, Ashley, what's the best of the best you've come across or perhaps the most surprising that you never would have thought?
Oh, that's a long list.
Oh.
So Peruvian food, hands down, some of the best food in the entire world. I did not have a single bad meal in Peru, even in the middle of nowhere, in the mountains. Absolutely delicious food everywhere. Venezuelan food, I absolutely love. Mexican food, of course. The food in Guatemala, when you get into like the Mayan communities, is really beautiful. And the connection to their culture, their heritage, was really special to learn about. French Polynesia, like Poisson Cru, is like melt in your mouth. The best, it's their own twist on ceviche. Ooh. But absolutely the best in the world.
So if I were going to go to Peru, what would you recommend I eat?
Lomo saltado is probably the most popular, but I like the pollo saltado, which is the chicken version, a little bit better.
Chicken and what?
Anything. It's like a immersion between Asian and Latino cooking. So, yeah, the sauces feel very Asian, and then the cooking style is Peruvian. Absolutely delicious. I mean, you can order anything in Peru, and it's going to be delicious.
You're in Bermuda now.
Maybe you want to try the guinea pig, but I'm not.
I didn't. You did not. Okay, no, maybe pass on that.
I couldn't do it.
Everything else was delicious. You're in Bermuda now. What are you dining on, and what do you look forward to eating?
So Bermuda's most famous debate on island is who has the best fish sandwich.
Ooh.
So that's a hot topic. I have two favorite places. And then a lot of seafood. I'm trying to eat healthy for the summer. So I'm trying to rest, relax, edit all my photos and videos, but also have a hot girl summer. So I need to be conscious of what I'm eating. Yeah.
Hot girl summer with fish sandwiches is a win-win in my book.
And maybe a few margaritas.
Do you speak multiple languages? Do you find language to be a barrier wherever you go?
I speak a decent amount of Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak a very, 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 very limited amount of French. I've forgotten more French than I've learned over the last couple of years, just because I haven't spoken it in the last 3 years. But I find it really difficult for me personally to learn languages. I need a one-on-one, like, instructor teacher to help me. I need to do a little bit more lessons, but I love learning new languages.
So does this impede your ability to enjoy the cultures and travel, or do you find ways around it?
Definitely doesn't limit the ability. I think it will limit your ability if you're too afraid to try and communicate. So when I was relearning Spanish, so I learned Spanish in high school, in college, but didn't use any of it for, I don't know, 12, 13 years.
Right.
So I had to relearn Spanish when I started traveling. And not only relearn, I had to unlearn the wrong, improper Spanish that I learned and then relearn the proper way. And I will say that once you accept the fact that you don't know the language and you're okay with that,
Yeah.
and you're okay with having a little humility, it gets a lot easier and it gets a lot better. I cannot tell you the amount of times where I'm at a pharmacy or I'm at a grocery store and it's charades. I'm like, Lo siento, like, I'm so sorry. I don't know the word, but like this, and you laugh, I laugh, and eventually we find what I'm trying to find, and it's very entertaining.
And probably a lesson for both parties and for me as well. I can totally understand that, appreciate it, and have seen it, you see it wherever you go. And as long as you come to it with a little bit of, as you mentioned, humility, you're going to be able to find a way or some common ground to move forward. I can picture that in my head. Ashley Kay is our guest. She is the author of the travel blog Hi from Ashley. She's from Wisconsin, but has been traveling the world since the end of 2019, and right now is spending the day in Bermuda, where it's hot and sunny, humid, but not like the hot and sunny and humid we have here in Wisconsin. It's got more beaches. If you've got questions about her travels and her camper truck, you can give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send an email, talk@wpr.org. And if you've got a story of travels of your own, or if you've done some overlanding that you'd like to share, please join us. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Tomorrow on Garden Talk with Larry Mueller, we'll hear from the author of a new book that's exploring how mystery writers are using gardening and gardeners in their books. And we'll talk with an expert about growing succulents to be their best. That's tomorrow on Garden Talk with Larry Mueller from 11 to 1 here on WPR News. But right now, we're talking with traveler overlander Ashley Kay, author of the travel blog Hi from Ashley. You'll also find her on YouTube and TikTok and all the socials. She's been traveling around the world since 2019. And if you've got questions for her, join us, 1-800-642-1234. You'll also find the link to her blog at wpr.org/Ashley and slash Larry, sorry. And Ashley, what's the most beautiful of the most beautiful that you've seen? If I were to take one trip based on all your travels, what would my destination be?
I would probably put Peru at the top of the list, depending on the type of adventure that you're looking for. But Peru has definitely everything in one country.
And it's not, I mean, it's a small country too, right? It's not,
It's quite large.
you've got a
It's
lot to
quite
see.
large. Yeah, I mean, if you drive from northern Peru to southern Peru, if you went straight through along the coast, I believe it's a 24-hour drive.
Oh, wow.
So
Okay.
it's quite a large country.
Let's go to your questions now for our guest, Ashley Kay, Sioux and Blue River. Good afternoon.
Hi.
What's your
Hi,
question?
Sue.
Hello. My question, actually, you kind of just answered it, but what was your favorite adventure?
Favorite adventure of all time? I would say the glacial lakes in Peru were probably the most mind blowing. Like, I can't believe I'm here.
What was that like?
It's just, I find certain spaces in nature where you're so overwhelmed by the size or the vast space that you're looking at.
Sure.
Just, it changes your perspective so much on life and who you are. And that was just incredible. Like, how does this even exist?
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
I get that. Like, it's tough to change somebody's opinion, or your opinion is pretty much set in stone. But if you can change a perspective, if the way you look, the size of your horizon, then your opinions will change with it. I've always seen it that way. And the Glacial Lakes, do you like make a point of returning to Peru? Is that a place you've gone back to already? Or is that some place you plan to return to someday?
I have not returned to Peru, but I absolutely will at some point in time. I still have a very long list of places that I want to get to for photography that I just wasn't able to get through because I was traveling through rain season. So one day I will return.
Deb emailed and wanted to know what your time was like during the pandemic, Ashley.
There were some pros and cons to be fair, definitely traveling was very limited, but there were some also really incredible experiences that I would have never been able to have if the world were shut down. So,
Interesting. There was a silver lining in that for you.
Yeah, it was definitely some solid silver lining moments. Two things to be shared, I guess. So in Bermuda, Horseshoe Bay is one of the best beaches in the entire world. And I have never liked it because it is full of tourists. Like, the cruise ships come in and there are just hundreds of people across the beach. And during COVID, there was nobody. And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is why this beach is one of the best in the entire world. I see it now. I can feel it. I can enjoy it. And then the second experience that was really mind-blowing, my friend James and I went to French Polynesia. We went to the island of Fakarava to go scuba diving for the Wall of Sharks. It's an island owned by a family, little bungalows, restaurant, dive shop, very basic. For the first 3 or 4 days we were there, not a single other person, just the two of us, just private dinners, private guides, diving, just the two. It was absolutely incredible. And no other time in history before scuba diving became popular in that place have people probably got to experience that environment in that way.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Just every single day, we're like, how lucky are we right now that we're here? This is incredible.
Let's go to Frank and Racine next. Frank, good afternoon. You're on the Larry Mueller Show with Ashley Kay.
Yes, great. I wanted to ask about the Darien jungle, why you had to, I forgot the term for getting on a boat and going around the obstacle. There is a term for that, but I forgot that. But why did you have to do that when you got to the Darien jungle going to from Panama to Colombia?
Yeah, Frank, thank you for the question. Why did you have to ship the Toyota Tacoma, Ashley?
Good question. So there is no physical road that connects from Panama to Colombia. The Darien Gap is mainly swamp, mountainous. It's always 95 degrees and up. There is a lot of rain that happens in that area. So when it rains, there are mudslides, landslides, and then it's a very unique biosphere in the world. So a lot of animals, but a lot of poisonous, venomous animals, bats, snakes, spiders, everything. So that's just the environment. And then you have indigenous communities that live within those areas. It's a very high human trafficking area. You have a lot of migrants who are walking through that area. And when you have environments like that, you will also have like gorillas in that area and can be very dangerous in that way. And yeah, you just can't do it. There's no road. There have been, I believe, 12 people that have traversed it in history. I believe it was Range Rover who sent in a group of Brits with like 4 or 5 vehicles, and it cost like $500,000. They were airdropping liquor and gas and cigarettes to them. But yeah, very, very impossible as a normal person.
Without $500,000 and unlimited supply of liquor and cigarettes.
Yeah, they were pretty cool story. If you look that up on the internet machine, it's pretty cool to read about.
Frank, I am so glad you asked. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Perry and Oconto next. Perry, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Ashley, for sharing your story. My question is, when you're in the camper, how did you find places to stop? Because I'm just imagining you're not stopping at regular campgrounds like we know in Wisconsin. And were you traveling alone most of the time? And how did you deal with safety and feeling safe in different countries?
Yeah, thank you, Perry. Ashley?
Very good question. Always top of the list. So as far as safety on the day-to-day stuff, I had already been traveling for 3.5 years. So a lot of that stuff is just second nature built in already. As far as feeling safe about leaving almost everything I own inside of my truck and walking away and going into stores and, oh my goodness, is somebody going to break into it? What if they steal my laptop or my camera? I had that for a few weeks and then just reached a point where you just have to let it go. Because if somebody wants to break in and steal, they're going to, no matter what you do, it's going to happen. So all of my camera gear, photography stuff is all insured. Everything is replaceable. You can't spend all of your energy thinking about that. As far as traveling alone, safety as a woman, I don't know how to say this properly or politically correct, but I don't have any major concerns. I feel incredibly safe in Latin America. I feel safer in Latin American countries than I do in the United States. And that's just the honest truth. People ask me every single day, are you alone? And I say, yes, I'm alone. And once they find out that you're alone, they keep an extra eye out for you. I one time had to camp at a truck stop in Honduras, and they put an armed guard at my truck the entire night. He was there when I left in the morning. So men, women around the world, once they find that you're alone traveling this way, they're going to go out of their way to make sure that you're okay. They're going to invite you over to the camp. I mean, I can't even list how many times complete strangers have helped me in Guatemala. A man who lived there, he's in a Toyota overlanding club, let me stay in his cottage on Lake Atitlan for 1 month. Just absolutely kind, hospitable, amazing people everywhere that I've been. As far as camping goes, I am obsessed with maps. So I am looking at the destination that I want to get to. And then where is it? Is there a road that I can get to? I use an app called iOverlander quite a bit to find free wild camping. And that is definitely a personal thing that I've noticed, me versus other travelers. A lot of other travelers are going to campgrounds. They are going to paid facilities, or they will camp like a gas station parking lot. And I will not. I am looking for a four-wheel drive, off-grid, 4 hours up the mountain. And if somebody is going to come 4 hours up the mountain to find little old me, I mean, I don't think so.
Ashley Kay, thank you so much for joining us today and allowing us to live vicariously through your travels. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find follow Ashley and her travels on her travel blog, hifromashley.com, her YouTube page, TikTok, and all the social medias. Want to thank everybody on our team for making these conversations possible today. Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. Join Larry Mueller for The Larry Mueller Show tomorrow for Garden Talk. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you are listening to WPR News. I've been everywhere, man.